God doesn't want you to just manage your fear. He desires for you to cast it out. Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland explains that when you truly believe the love God has for you, it will cast out fear.
Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9 through 12. As touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You ought not have to have somebody write to you and preach to you all the time. You don't have to know that you're supposed to love one another. Everybody that's born again knows they're supposed to love one another. Well, why ain't they doing it? Because to you it's never become a commandment. And I can tell you, why? So that you can do something about it. It's not all that hard to know why. And I want you to understand, Peter said this. Well, hold your place there, because we need to come right back to that immediately. And look with me in the third chapter of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind. Say, he's stirring up my mind. I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Now think about this. He is going to remind you of something that you definitely remember, but now your memory needs to be stirred up. What does that mean? It's back here in the back of your mind, and it needs to come around here in the front of your mind. It needs to get up in the forefront. Now notice this. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, or to us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. What he commanded us. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and love one another even as I have loved you. Now, you know that. Now, turn back over there where we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Well, now what's the problem? It's not up in the front of your memory. And if you keep violating it over and over and over and over, it'll get to the place where you're cold to it. Now, for a while, if you violate in some knock-down, drag-out fight, oh, you'll repent over that. But you've got a lot of stuff that is just as crosswise of that commandment as a knock-down, drag-out fight, and never even occurs to you to repent over it. Some sharp spoken word or something like that. So now what are we having to do? We're having to stir up our remembrance that it is a commandment. Stir it up. How do you do that? Well, thinking about it all the time and talking about it all the time. You meditate on it and you talk about it. You talk about it and you meditate on it. You change your way of thinking from strife and the curse over on to being rooted and grounded in love. I am, in the name of Jesus, determined to be a good steward of the commandment of love. Now, when you come over to that and you stir yourself up to that, I will not accept any excuses out of myself to violate the commandment of love. I'm not going to do it. Amen. I may have a real reason, but either fix it or ignore it. Amen. Amen. Well, how do you ignore a real reason to violate the commandment of love? You roll the care of it over on the commander. They say, sir, you know, I mean, that don't look too good, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not violating your order, so I'm turning this over to you. You can do with it what you want to do with it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And as far as I'm concerned, that's done for. And he'll take it. He's your caretaker. He'll take your cares. So, now, let's look here. With that in mind, let's read this scripture. Touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. You're already doing it. You know it and you do it. I'm not talking to a bunch of people that don't ever love one another. A lot of you do it a lot and don't even realize it. But at the same time, you got some unlovely habits and you do some things over in that area and you don't realize it. And so what we're having to do and what we're talking about here tonight is rooting and grounding. We're digging roots and we're going to ground this thing, fix it, like putting it in concrete. I mean, dig it and set it forever. Amen. There's just certain things that are just going to get weeded out of us, and we're just going to stay with it until that mess is gone. Amen. Now, how do they do that in the military? You have to understand, we're soldiers in the army of the Lord, and we're supposed to endure hardship as good soldiers. We're not a civilian organization. No, 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 no. Forget that. You're under orders.
Amen.
God has a place where he needs you, and that's where he intends for you to be. And he intends to train you and equip you. Does a soldier go to war at his own expense? Boy, we'd have a sorry Air Force if when you when they put you through flight training and assigned you to an F-16, they're going to take it out of your pay. Particularly if you get two or three of them shot out from under you. Did you know people do that with missionaries? I don't have any use for that. Well, Brother Copeland, I know when, you know, these people come down and they say they're going to be missionaries and all that, and they come down, we spend a bunch of money on them, and then they ain't got nothing to them, and they go off and leave and cost us all that money. Well, something wrong with your plan. Well, so that's the reason we have them raise their own money and come down at their own expense and come down here and so forth. Well, that's not the plan either.
Amen.
In the first place, one reason they keep doing you that way is because you keep saying that. You'll find out the bad stuff that's happening to you, you've gotten in the habit of saying it. Scripture says there is no curse causeless.
That's right.
There's cause and effect for everything. In the Hebrew language, there is no word for coincidence. So there are no coincidences. Amen. So, well, I opened that can. I'll have to do something with it. In the mission field, what should you do? Put the blessing into operation. Put the blessing into operation. The problem is there are people coming down there untrained and unprepared. It could be your training situation's not up to what it should be. But most probably that you're not aware enough of the blessing of Abraham it maketh rich, because you've got the idea that it won't work for you in the middle of that jungle that God has sent you into. And the reason he sent you into that jungle is to take the blessing in there.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't tell me it won't work there.
Come on, this is a good word.
There's too much on record in the Word of God to say that it won't work there.
Right.
Amen. I like what Bishop Oyedepo says from Calvary Tabernacle in Lagos, Nigeria. He said people think that the prosperity doctrine is an American doctrine. He said, no, Jesus wasn't born in America. The blessing didn't start in America, but America is blessed. You know why it's blessed? It's certainly in because of our politicians. It's not because of our great statesmanship. It's really not because of our form of government. It's because there are still people here believing God and tithing and standing on the Word of God and praying for this nation and believing God and bringing the blessing of Abraham down on it. Now, if you're going to major on all that's wrong with this country, you're majoring on the curse. Don't major on what's wrong with it. Bless it. Don't curse it. Amen. Somebody that's going to curse it's a fool if you're going to live here. If you're going to live here, bless it. Praise God. Amen. Now, and that same thing is true whether you're in the mission field or whether you're a pastor of church or whether you have a ministry like ours, a field ministry or whatever. It don't make any difference what you're called to do. You're going to have to develop faith in the, and integrity in the written Word of God, faith and integrity in the full armor of God, faith and integrity in the blessing of the Lord, but most of all, in the love of God. Amen.
Amen.
So, this, let's go back up. Let's pick up on this again now, because he brought up something here that we really do need to get into. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. We beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Lack of nothing. Now, what did he say? You're going to have to increase more and more. You're going to have to begin to study how to love one another, how to increase this. You're going to have to develop procedures in your own life when it comes to loving other people, changing your way of thinking in certain things. You're going to have to be aware of it. You're going to have to stir yourself up to it. Pastors, you're going to have to start teaching this. You're going to have sessions in your church where you people get together and talk about it and learn how to love one another. You're already doing it to a degree. Everybody's born again is doing it to a degree because you got love in you. The first thing that happened when you got born again, there was a love put in you for the brethren. And so he says, like him said, you're already doing it and you know you're supposed to do it. But now we're going to have to increase in it. Increase in it more and more. Learn more about it. Get more deeply rooted and grounded in it. You're going to have to meditate about it more. Think about it more. First step, then, is to believe the love. We won't turn over there. I'll just remind you of it. That the Word says over in 1 John that we have known and believed the love that God had to us. We've known and believed. That the word known again is as being intimate with the love of God. That's what happened to you when you got born again. You've known it, but now you need to be believing it. You need to be developing your faith, the fact that God loves you. And he goes right on then, and just as no more got out of his mouth when he said, developed, perfected, growing. Didn't he say increase in it? Didn't he say increase in the love? That was the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle of Love, John says, he called it perfected love. This developing, perfected love, this believing the love casts out fear. Fear cannot stay around it. It doesn't just overcome it. It casts it out. Now, there's a difference. I mean, even in the natural world, you can manage fear. You can manage fear with training. I see pilots do it all the time. You know, Phil, they stick us in that simulator. You've been there as many times as I have. And they put you in that simulator, and they start throwing those problems at you. Your engines fail, lightning strikes you in there, and I'm in all kinds of things. And at first, man, I mean, you got sweat running off of you. That thing is so real. It's no different from the airplane. It takes a lot of training to come to the place where you can handle four critical emergencies all at the same time. Well, it's almost, in the aviation business, it's almost foolish to train to that because the airplanes are so good anymore, you don't have four things go wrong with them at once. But not over in this world. Boy, I mean, the devil will compound ammonia in a hurry, particularly if you start failing when he starts compounding ammonia and you get your mouth over there in favor of him. You get over on the cursed side of things and, man, you'll come in scratching both sides of your head and say, I don't understand it, man. It just one thing happens and all the rest of it just goes to hell, doesn't it? Well, you got it right. That's what happens to it. Hell gets a hold of it. Now, you can push the fear threshold back with training so that when that stuff happens, fear hasn't kicked in yet. I've been so fearful I couldn't function. Back in the early days of my flying career, I got into a situation one day I thought I was going to die. I wasn't qualified to handle it. And I wasn't saved either, but I knew who to call. Boy, I hollered at God just loud as I could holler, man. I mean, and he got me out of it. I don't have time to go into hell. But I'm still here. Glory to God. It's a good thing, too, because that would have been no time to die for me. But I started feeling it coming up my legs, and it got up nearly to my knees, and I knew that if that ever got up to my head, I just knew it. I'd never experienced this before. I didn't have any idea. I knew it was fear, but I didn't have the slightest idea how to control it. I didn't know what to do, and it started coming up my legs, and it's slowly getting higher, and I just sensed if this ever gets to my head, I will not be able to function. And I hollered, God, get me out of this. And he did. And the main way he did it, I had never heard of Mark 11:23. I'd never heard of the power of words. Never in my entire life. But I realized almost instantaneously after hollering that, if I'd talk out loud, I could obey what I said. I knew what to do. I just didn't have training enough to do it well. And I was way behind the airplane. I was way behind the situation. Didn't have any business being there. And I got my fool self into it. If I would talk out loud like I was an instructor telling me what to do, I could do it. But when I started trying to think it, my hands would just freeze. They'd freeze almost right where they were. So I thought, hey, that ain't going to work. I got to talk to myself here. And I'd tell myself what to do. And I finally got a hold of somebody on the ground that knew more than I did, and they started telling me what to do. So I started telling me what they said to me to do, and as I walked myself through it, and they walked me right on through it, and God helped me, and I got out of that mess without bending something up and killing my fool self. Glory to God. And my mama was praying. Man, that helped. But my point here is you can manage fear. We're not talking about managing fear. Our training in the Word of God doesn't manage fear. It casts it out. You can manage fear. I mean, you take some fellow that rides bulls for a living. I don't know why anybody want to do that, but then some people do. And he does something for a living. He does it all the time and enjoys it. I don't want to do that. Why in the world do I want to sit down on a 2,000-pound animal and somebody come up and stick him where it hurts and then turn him loose with me on him? No, thank you very much. I got better ideas here than that. But some people like that. Well, that's all right. Go for it. I'll watch you ride them. I enjoy watching you ride them. Praise God. Amen. I know some absolute champion bull riders. But now he can see that bull actually is no fear to him. Why? Well, he's trained. He's come to the place where the thing don't scare him at all. And he takes dominion over the thing, or hope to. And he and that bull go at it for a few seconds here. And even if he gets thrown off, gets banged up, he don't pay attention to that. He's going on to the next rodeo. But on the way over there, he gets in his truck and he's worried sick about his finances or about his family or something else like that. So the fear is still there, see. It's been managed where the bull is concerned, but it's just tearing him apart where his money's concerned. We're talking about casting it out. And as you perfect the love, well, how do you do that? You go to the scripture that where Jesus said that God showed them that you love them as much as you do me. You take that. You receive the love. That's mine. He loves me as much as he does Jesus. You start meditating on that. You start talking about that. You get it on your mind. He loves me as much as he does Jesus. My Father loves me as much as he does Jesus. You meditate on it. You walk around the room with it. You give God glory about it. You listen to this tape about it. You go over it and 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 over it. And when it comes up, well, God can never love me. That's genetically altered Bible. It's religion. Dump it right where it is. Get it out of your life. That's fear-based, and it'll kill you. But what we're talking about is the love of God. Oh, my. And the more it builds in you, you get rooted and grounded in that to where when and now, right there in 1 John, it says, he that fears is not perfected in love. At the first sign of worry, the first sign of fear, at the first sign of, man, wonder what we're going to do. Boop, 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 boop. You got an annunciator going off on your panel. You got a red light going off on your dashboard saying, hey, 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 get busy, get busy, get busy. Get that out of there. Get the fear out there. Fear, 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 fear. Don't wait till next week. Get it out of from behind here and get it up here. I am a forgiver. I am not a condemner. I am loved by God and I love him. His love is perfecting in me and he loves me as much as he loves Jesus and I know he loves me. There's no way in the world God is going to let Jesus run out of gas on the freeway. Just because he ain't got money enough to buy any. He turned water into wine. So pour the wine in your gas tank. It'll get you home. Huh? You are never limited if you walk in love.
Before he created the foundations of the world, God knew you. God loved you. And his love for you is unchanging. Regardless of what the storms of life throw against us, we have no reason to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. In order to stand against those storms, faith must be developed in God's love, just as in any area of life.
There is one thing that there is little to almost zero preaching, teaching, meditation, and study about in the body of Christ, and that is developing our faith in the love of God.
In Faith in God's Love, Kenneth Copeland brings powerful insight on how to walk in the love of God. In four messages on five CDs, you'll learn how to believe in the love that God has for you, how to develop your faith in God, learn that love never fails, and how to commit to a lifestyle of love that will share God's love with the world around you. To order your copy of Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Faith in God's Love, log on to kcm.org and order online. This vital teaching is now available for just $12. To order by phone, you may call us at 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order your copy of Faith in God's Love today and start developing a stronger knowledge and confidence in God's love.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. Glad to be with you today. I'm in for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And whenever Papa calls and says, hey, can you help me out with some TV? I am glad to do it because I love being with you. I love being a part of this ministry and here with my parents, Pastors George and Terry Pearsons. And of course, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria. But you can call me Jeremy. And I'm just thrilled to be a part of these broadcasts and a part of this ministry with you. And I think, you know, sometimes it does us good to realize that there are certain things that you and I can hear from the Word of God about God that are keys to the rest of the Word of God. They are keys to understanding who He is and who He said He would be in your life. And today you have heard one of those things. He taught, my grandfather taught today out of 1 John and what the book of 1 John has to say about not only knowing that God is, fill in the blank, love. If you said love, you're right. But not only knowing that, but believing that. Knowing and believing the love. Believing and receiving the love. And what happens when that love, when God Himself comes into your life? 1 John tells us that it casts out fear. There is no room for fear. When love is present, no room. So if you're dealing with fear in your life, if you've been afraid, if you've been gripped by it, then let me tell you today, the answer is love. The answer is love coming into your life and filling up your life, just as the Word of God says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And you know, you and I have been saved by that love. And when I say saved, I know many people think live on earth, die, go to heaven if you've been saved. But I'm not just talking to you about heaven when you die. I'm talking about living heaven on earth, not just being saved from hell in eternity, but being saved from hell on earth. If you've never been saved, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, then pray this prayer after me. Say, God in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe you love me. I believe you sent love in the form of your Son, Jesus. He lived for me. He died for me. And He rose again for me. I believe it with all my heart. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Take away my sin. Take away my shame. I will live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria, would like to send to you this free salvation package, no charge to you at all. These are just some books, some study materials that'll help you get into the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ Jesus. You've been called to a wonderful life, and these things will help you begin to discover those. So however you need to get in touch with us, if you need to call us, call us. If you need to write us, write us. Jump online, kcm.org. All the information you need will be there to get in touch with us and get these free books that my grandparents want to send to you. Get into the Word of God. If there's something you want to know about Him, find out what His Word says. Thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast today. This is Jeremy Pearsons reminding you that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland love you, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to send you 5 books free. Log on to kcm.org and request your free salvation package online today. Take hold of God's promises and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life.